Cleveland. A production of Whitfield Media Group. It's time for the fastest hour in radio. Your home for NASCAR. We're Racing Talk Radio, 101.3 Valves. Now, live from the Valvoline Instant Oil Change Studio, it's Jamie Kyle and Scott Webb.
Welcome to Racing Talk Radio on 101.3 The Buzz. Wow, I hope everybody enjoyed the storm.
Hope everybody's safe today. Out there.
Yeah, I know the shelters were full and everything else. Great to be with you. Jamie Kyle, Scott Webb, and Jason Hildebrand talking NASCAR. And yes, we all made it up here. Scott had an off day today with the weather.
A lot of preparing for the show today.
I was wondering if this counts against a snow day or just a...
Hey, we just hope everybody was safe today.
That is way to be politically correct.
Just want everybody to be safe today.
Speaking of a storm, we had a storm over this past weekend. We all were just waiting to have NASCAR start, and then all of a sudden here it comes with all the changes that we had over the off season. And guys, I mean, thoughts on the weekend?
A lot of money spent by these owners down there in Daytona. Whether you're talking about the Camping World Truck Series, Xfinity Series, or the Monster Energy Series, you look at, there was wrecks all over the place beginning Friday night. It was an eventful weekend. A lot of good machines tore up and mangled down there. It was kind of shocking to me, to be honest with you, to see that much carnage out on the track.
Yeah, I agree with Jason. It was, I think stage racing, segment racing, whatever you want to call it, had an impact on that. We saw, especially in the 500, we saw some wild strategies trying to gain some extra points. And I think it's going to be a work in progress. I think they'll figure it out. There's a lot of smart people employed by these organizations, so they'll figure out the best way to handle that. But like Jason said, I think the big story is just the amount of wrecks, the amount of aggressive driving, how loose the cars were handling. You get to these types of tracks, and we don't realize how important handling is. But it was a big deal this week, and you had to be able to maneuver in the draft. You had to be able to put yourself in position, and ultimately you had to find a way to get to the final 20 laps. And if you didn't get to the final 20 laps, you had no chance of winning the big trophy. And it was a great – I thought the end was great. The shootout there at the end was terrific. It was typical Daytona. Overall, great race. I mean, I'd like to see some of the bigger name guys there at the end, but I think the overall – I was very pleased with the product that was put out there Sunday.
I mean, put this into perspective. 75% of the Joe Gibbs cars were caught up in wrecks. 50% of Stuart Haas and 50% of Hendrick Motorsports all out.
I'd like to put a dollar on that each percent on how much that would cost them.
Expensive.
Yeah, very expensive.
Because those weren't dings. Those were crashes.
Well, those were we got to take that one out back and scrap it.
And just build it in the off season. That's the crazy thing. So, all right, so we had all kinds of things that like I said before, that the changes in the off season. What was one thing that you saw this Sunday that, out of all the changes we had, that really affected a lot of drivers?
I think the way the organizations, and really, to me, it wasn't even organization. It was more manufacturers. I think I tweeted this out. Instead of having a bunch of teams out there running around, it looked like we had three teams out there. It looked like we had Chevys, Fords, and Toyotas. And however, they all kind of stayed on the same strategy. The Chevy's not quite as organized as the other organizations. But we saw a bunch of the Toyota cars and a bunch of the Ford cars. We get a lot of that manufacturer working together at super speedways, but they were all dialed in on the same strategy. It didn't work out real well for the Toyotas. The Fords, I thought, handled it best, kind of divide the segment up into just half and ran half, and cautions and all that stuff played a role. But I thought the way that the manufacturers kind of molded into pseudo teams, and to me that was one of the big takeaways I had.
One of the things I thought of, and you're going to the garage, you're automatically out. I took a lot away from that, because you look at those guys that were caught up in the earlier wreck, then you have another wreck out there that just wipes out cars. If you could go to the garage and fix it up and get back there, you could wound up with more points than those other guys did. But, yeah, I'm not saying you'd go out there and win the race, but as far as picking up points, I think you could have at that point.
Yeah, and I think that's a big thing because you look at the end of the race and the cars that finished the end of the race, I don't know that there was one with a straight quarter panel on it.
Especially not the 41.
Right, no, and, exactly. And, you know, and that was more, I mean, I think they even made the comment, it looked more like Martinsville cars out there running around than Daytona cars because usually, you know, usually you get in a big wreck and you wreck a bunch of those cars out. But the cars that avoid it kind of, they're all in one piece. They're nice and shiny. I mean, they even showed Denny Hamlin's car from last year. It looked like he could have hopped in that baby and drove it some. I mean, there was nothing wrong with it. There was no cars like that. Now, I don't know if it was because of the aggressive nature or because of, you know, I think the segment, you know, the aggressiveness of trying to get points in the segments was also playing a role in that. But it was just... Now, part of that too, and I'd like to talk about this for a second, is we had a lot of young guys out there, young guys with fast cars, Blaney, Chase Elliott, you know, Larson. There was a lot of talented young guys with fast race cars, and they were ultra aggressive. Now, maybe part of that is not having enough experience, but those guys seem, especially Blaney, McMurray was another one, although he's really not a young guy. But there was some guys out there that were really uber aggressive. We don't often see that at a plate track.
Yeah, and that kind of leads me to my next, you know, question for you guys is, you know, with the two biggest things that happened before Daytona is, number one, you had lack of practice time because of the weather. But then, two, you also had the new segment racing. Out of those two, which one, in your opinion, do you think may have had a bigger influence on the number of wrecks and the carnage that we had out there Sunday?
I think really it's the stage racing, to be honest with you. I mean, that's just my opinion. I think you're going to go out there and try to get those points. Even though you still have the big picture in mind, you still want to pick up those extra points.
Well, and you look at, and Scott, just to Jason's point there, with the stage racing, you look at Kyle Busch and Kevin Harvick, even though they both wrecked out, they still ended the day, and I think I want to say that Kevin Harvick.
I think Harvick's fourth in points. Yeah, he's fourth in points because he had good finishes in both segments and had a fast race car too. He was probably going to be there at the end until the wreck knocked him out of it. Stage racing, I think, was the story of the event. I think it changed the dynamic so much so that, I mean, what was it, 20 laps into the race, we got cars pitting, group of cars pitting, and no one, I think it even caught the announcers a little bit by surprise, no one thought that teams would be pitting that soon just to try to get prepared for those segment wins. You know, it didn't pay off for the Toyotas. It was I don't know if you can say it was a calculated risk. I mean, it's just a way, you know, you have a caution at the wrong time when you do something like that. It throws your whole, your whole strategy out the window. So I think these segments are really going to ramp up the storylines. Now, I want to see it play out on a track like we're going to this week at Atlanta, how much different it'll be. We're not running a pack of cars together all the time. So we'll see how much change happens in terms of stage racing with that. But it was a very unusual to me Daytona 500 because it didn't seem like, you know, usually they get that moving parking lot that follows each other for 3 hours. It really didn't seem like we had a lot of that. We had groups and times and stretches of that, but it was a lot of smaller 8, 10, 12 cars packed together. And then obviously the wrecks also played a factor in that as well.
You know, I did send a text out, I think it was maybe Saturday or Friday, and it was met with mixed emotions from one Scott Webb and Jason Hildebrand.
Well, probably a lot of texts you send out are mixed or have a lot of mixed emotions.
Well, some of them don't have any emotion at all. It's just an automatic reply like I got. But, you know, the thing is I sent out and said I'm a little more excited about the Daytona 500 this year than it seems that I've been before. ESPN come out with an article stating the same thing about how the excitement was kind of up, you know, and stuff like that. So we know that the streaming, you know, audience was a lot more than last year and up something like 40% over last year. Did you guys feel the same way? Did you get the same feeling that, you know, this is going to be a different Daytona 500 than we had before?
I just think there was some unknowns there, how they were going to race it out. You know, we talked about how are they going to be racing at these stages and whatnot to try to pick up those points, and will they forget about the big picture? I think there were some unknowns out there. You know, also, you're looking at the track, you know, as far as temperature, whatnot, it's going to be hotter. It was, 107, 108 track temperature.
Yeah.
They ran the duels Thursday night. It was cooler at night. So, I mean, I think there were some unknowns out there.
Well, I mean, obviously the start of the year is exciting. It's exciting because they got a new sponsor. They're going to be doing things a little bit differently. There's so many changes, and I think we're still trying to digest exactly how those are going to affect racing week in and week out. We haven't even spent a lot of time talking about the 5 minute clock and the
That's
changes.
That's next, by the
yeah,
way.
Yeah, and the changes that may potentially have. And we've talked about this at length off the air. You know, it's still up for debate what that 5 minute clock rule, how that's going to impact the racing. I think there was just so many changes. We just wanted to see the product out there and see what it's going to be like. Now the next step is for me to see it at a non-plate race and see how it's going to affect the week to week racing. These plate races, you know, we get four of those a year. That's 4 out of 36. That's not a lot, so it's gonna be interesting to see how this affects, especially a track like these mile and a halfs, like Atlanta and some of the other tracks that we see quite a bit.
Well, even think about your smaller tracks in that, Scott, and you look and these guys come in multiple times pulling stuff off. If they're banging the wall, pulling stuff off. How's that cumulative time of 5 minutes gonna affect what they're doing there?
Right, and my question will be is with the 5 minute rule is. You know, once they get the damage repaired, after they get in an accident, once they get the damage repaired, literally they can come back in the rest of the race. Mm-hmm. So it's just that first initial time. You know, it's going to be interesting to see how all that plays out and the timing of all that and who's keeping up with that. And I know there's a lot of technology in the sport, so it's going to be I'm curious to see how that part of it's going to play out, especially at a Martinsville or someplace like that where it's, you know, it's not uncommon to be out there running a modified.
Well, absolutely. And with the 5 minute, you know, clock and the rule and stuff like that, I don't know that, well, and there's no way really for us to tell the amount of cautions that would normally be thrown for debris coming off a wrecked car in comparison to, you know, what happened on Sunday, which there didn't seem to be a lot. I mean, we had, we had 8 cautions for 40 laps. And a couple of those, of course, were red flagged because they were larger accidents. But I don't know that it made that big of a difference. And like you said, going to the other tracks, we'll be able to get a better read on it. My first opinion, you know, when I saw it in action, because we saw some good cars have to, you know, go behind the wall because they couldn't get it fixed. And part of that could have been that when you hit the commitment line at Daytona, you got a ways to go before you get down to your pit stall in some cases, and then a ways to go to get out. So that takes time as well. But what if they extended that to 10 minutes? Do you think that's a possibility that would give them a little more time? And even if you make it track specific, you know, for the shorter tracks, less time, for the bigger tracks, more time.
But I think those cars that were involved in the accident down there at Daytona were trashed. I don't think 10 minutes would have helped in a situation like that. I think you're looking at a bigger fix than just 10 minutes. It's just me.
Yeah, rarely do we see a car with significant damage win a race. Been sleeping all day, yeah. So you know it's it's been difficult. And especially if you were on Twitter, you had thought that, you know, they've totally changed. We were making right turns instead of left turns. The way the outrage was on Twitter with this 5 minute ordeal. You know, NASCAR's done the math. They know that if your car has been damaged enough where it takes more than X amount of minutes to repair, that you're not going to win a race.
What did Alex Hayden tell us?
Yeah, I mean, he said
that 36th.
Yeah, I mean, so it's. I don't think that there is much. I think we're making much ado about nothing. I think that I don't think it's going to. We're talking about a point or two where if you've had a good, you know, you even go back to Elliott Sadler in the Xfinity race. He wins both stages of the race, gets wrecked out at the end. I think he comes out of this thing like second or third in points. You know, didn't even finish the race. So there's ways to make up the points other than just trying to gain the one or two spots that may give you a point or two more at the end of the race. And the stage racing points are going to be, I think, a bigger factor than the 5 minute rule is when it's all said and done.
It's when you're wrecking early is when it really comes in.
Yeah, but I mean, you're wrecking early. I mean, what's the chances of you getting everything fixed and getting back out there and competing for a win? You're usually competing for 30th. So, you know, that one or two, three spots is not going to make that big a difference if you can go out there and at another point in time make points up during the stage portion of the event.
Absolutely. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the winner of Daytona, also break down some of the top 10 and who did well, who didn't do well. But first, I reminded you about this if you were listening to 104.1 on Friday. We're giving away Atlanta tickets. Jason Hildebrand, tell us about it.
Yes, the Racing Talk Radio 101.3 The Buzz, Freeway to Atlanta Motor Speedway, presented by Whitfield Oil Company and Valvoline. What you get with that, guys? You get two grandstands tickets to March 3rd, the NASCAR Qualifying Day Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. March 4th, the Rinnai 250 and Active Pest Control 200, the doubleheader Xfinity and Camping World Truck Series races. And March 5th, Folds of Honor Quick Trip 500 Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series tickets. Two of each for each day. And also with that, you have get a value of $110, a Valvoline Instant Oil Change Car Care Certificate, which you have one here in Cleveland as well. Includes Valvoline conventional oil change, tire rotation, and a new set of wiper blades.
Stay tuned. And actually, in the third segment, we'll have you call the Valvoline Instant Oil Change Hotline. We'll give you the number next segment so you can do that and see if you can win those tickets. We'll be right back. We'll break down the lineup, the winner, all that and more on Racing Talk Radio on 101.3
The Buzz.
We'll be back faster than a hot lap at Daytona. Racing Talk Radio on 101.3 The Buzz. We're back and talking more NASCAR. Racing Talk Radio on 101.3 The Buzz.
Welcome back to Racing Talk Radio on 101.3 The Buzz.
Whoa,
live.
Whoa.
Listen, I've been dealing with numbers all day from the Valvoline Instant Oil Change
Big
Studios.
Numbers.
I'm Jamie Kyle.
Working hard today.
Scott Webb and Jason
I appreciate
Hildebrand,
your effort.
And you've done nothing but sleep all day. So you should
Man,
be
there
ready.
There could have been a nap.
Yeah, that's
could
true.
Could have been a nap in there somewhere.
Or two.
But I'm just glad everybody's safe.
That's been your statement all day.
Yep.
So,
I'm
very
staying
good.
With it.
All right, great race this weekend. We broke down a little of that in the first segment. Now let's talk about who finished where. And this was kind of a wild setup because one thing, guys, that I can't remember, and maybe it's happened and I just didn't pay attention, but is fuel mileage playing a big role in a super speedway race? It's been a while if we've seen that, maybe at Talladega. I know Pocono from time to time, you know, is a super speedway, and you do have fuel mileage issues there. But it came down to where we had 10 laps to go, and there were about five or six drivers that had no clue if they were going to be able to make it the whole way. We saw people fall out. It got really wild at the end.
Absolutely, it got wild. You know, they were right at the one caution. They were right at the window where if they went ahead and pitted, they could make it to the end. And as we see, it cost Chase Elliott runs out of gas on the next to last lap. Blaney, who ended up second, said he was sputtering all the way down the backstretch on the final lap. So, you know, it did play a role. And it's just one of those, who would have thought they would have stayed cautious after all the carnage that happened in really the first two segments? Who would have thought there in that last run that they were going to stay caution free and go out there and make laps, because they were all trying to save a little bit of fuel because they knew they were right up against it, and it ended up being one of those deals where Kurt was able to get out in front and he had enough gas left to make it to the finish.
I thought it was really unique that if you looked at the top 10 drivers that were racing with about three or four to go, only one out of the top 10 had actually won the Daytona 500. So you kind of knew that you were going to have somebody that had never won it before that was going to make a difference in their career. Kurt Busch won the 59th annual Daytona 500. That's his 29th victory in 577 NASCAR Monster Energy Cup Series races. It's his first victory and first top 10 in 2017, and it's his first victory and top 17th top 10 finish in 32 races at Daytona.
Are you going to complain about somebody else using the English language today?
Yeah, that's what it is. All right, let's hear from Kurt Busch on his big win at Daytona.
How'd you get to the front?
The more that becomes unpredictable about Daytona, the more it becomes predictable to predict unpredictability. I mean, this car is completely thrashed. There's not a straight panel on it. The strategy today, who knew what to pit when, what segments were what. Everybody's wrecking as soon as we were done with the second segment. I don't know. I mean, the more that I've run this race, the more that I've just throw caution to the wind, let it rip, and just elbows out. And that's what we did. I mean, that group put on a fantastic run to the end, and everybody did a great job not to wreck each other. I cannot believe this homecoming for Ford. Thank you, Doug Yates, and everybody at Ford Motor Company, Ford Performance. This is incredible.
You led only one lap, the last lap. But at what point in that last lap did you feel like you had a shot at winning it?
My rearview mirror fell off with 30 to go. And I was like, that's an omen. That's an omen. Because I'm not going to have to look at it anymore. I got to drive defensively. and take advantage of other people's mistakes. I made a move in one and two, and the only thing I knew I could do to get a run from behind was to go high eventually, and I got the run from whoever was behind, and then the spotter said, four back, five back, five back, five back, and I'm like, I can't even see out the back to enjoy it. I was so nervous coming to the line, I didn't think we were going to win, but unbelievable to have all of this teamwork to build SHR Fords, and here we are in victory lane, so thanks Haas Automation.
I don't know what's more impressive with him, the fact that he threw out that first sentence that was really thoughtful and everything.
It's predictably unpredictable.
Yeah, or predictably. Driving the last 30 laps without your rearview mirror at Daytona.
A lot fell on the spotter in that situation, tell you that.
Oh, yeah, it was crazy. So, you know, the neat thing was you had several, and we mentioned this, you know, off air before the show, is that you usually have a lot of drivers that, you know, run up front or whatever at these super speedway races a lot because of attrition. And then some just because, you know, these cars are so equal, you get out there in the draft and anything can happen. You know, big win for Kurt Busch. I think the one thing that gets overlooked in this win is the fact that SHR just switched to Ford from Chevrolet, and the fact that they could turn that around quick enough to where, you know, Jason, if you looked at it, you know, on Sunday, without wrecks, you had all four of those SHR cars that were extremely competitive.
Yeah, I thought they all looked well. That includes Danica and Clint Bowyer. You know, those guys wrecked out early. But, you know, I'm telling you, those were some fast Fords out there that SHR was putting out on the track at Daytona.
And that's one thing you really couldn't say over the past, you know, couple of years. You had, you know, Penske that run really well, but you had Roush that kind of brought the other side of the Ford stable down. And now you've got some really strong cars. Scott, we talked about Ryan Blaney a lot on text and how well he did. This is a big race for him. Still a little out of control, per Jason Hildebrand.
No, he wasn't a little out of control. He was a lot out of control, and I absolutely loved it.
He was about to hit everything
out
there.
He hit everything he could hit.
It reminds me of Larson a couple years ago.
Right. It's you know, he is on the edge of your seat a little bit crazy, and it was fabulous racing. I mean, it was absolutely, I'm going to the front, and I don't care who I got to push or pull or knock out of the way. And I love the aggression. I thought he raced, you know, put his team in position to win, you know, the Wood Brothers team. And, you know, they get a lot of their support from Penske, and they had fast race cars. And he's a kid that when he gets it all together, he's going to be a big name in this sport for a lot of years to come. And it was impressive what he was able to do and able to put that thing out front. I literally with a lap to go, I thought he was going to win the race. And, you know, then they ran out of gas a little bit down the backstretch there and couldn't find a way to win. But a strong day for Ford, a much-needed day. Now, the Stewart Haas Racing, the big question for them moving forward is, now that we're away from a super speedway, are they going to be able to have the same kind of power, same kind of handling they need to race week in and week out? You know, we'll see a lot of those questions start to be answered here, starting with Atlanta this weekend.
Absolutely. So a couple of other notables in the top 10 you had. A.J. Allmendinger, and this is the first year for the two-car team that they've got going on there.
The powerhouse
team, right. So it's maybe the best finish he gets all year except for the road courses because he is a pretty good road course driver. Eric Almirola has won at Daytona before. Of course, it was a rain-shortened event on the 4th of July. Paul Menard is one of the guys that we talked about, you know, via text all day on Saturday or Sunday as being a very strong car and really looked good in the 500.
You know, it's best I've seen Menard run in a while. I mean, you know,
I thought Austin Dillon had a good race car all week too. So maybe that team, you know, Ryan Newman ran pretty well at times. So hopefully that team, you know, I think that team is important because it's Richard Childress Racing. It's important for that group to be relevant. And it's you know, they haven't won a race since Newman drove. Was it? I can't remember the stat I heard. What exactly? It's been 3 years. I think it was 2013 or something like that since they've last won a race. So that's an organization that had some good things happen to them. They need to see if they can. Since maybe it was McNard the last win at Indy. I can't remember.
It's been a while because Newman
has
got
been a long
chase without any victories.
Yeah,
got
two
on
years
right.
In a row.
Yeah. So you know, it's going to be important to see that organization continue to move forward. I think it helps out the Chevys. I was impressed with the Ganassi Chevys. I thought they both looked real racy. Now, can they do that consistently? I think we all know and all kind of feel that Larson is on the edge of being one of the top echelon drivers. But he's got to cross that threshold first, and he's got to be able to win. But he put there was a point there, I think with two to go, he pulled out, and you thought he was going to win the race. So it was a lot of intrigue by names we don't normally see or haven't normally saw, or just kind of waiting for them to take the next step in their process and their progress in their career. So can they do that at a non-plate track? That's the big question, because we all know that plate tracks, are crapshoot. We could have put me in a car, and I could have finished in the top 10.
Don't know about that.
Maybe.
Joey Logano, Michael Waltrip, Matt DiBenedetto, his best finish of the probably his career. 9th and then 10th with Trevor Bayne. Jason, I wanted to go back to you on Casey Kane, who finished 7th. You said you were impressed with him all weekend.
Yeah, I was impressed. You saw him with a good qualifying effort out there. You saw him in the dual races. I thought he looked really, really good. Just real impressed with what he's done so far in a really, my opinion, a crucial year for him in the 5. You look at the Hendrick Motorsports cars, you look at Johnson and Earnhardt, and then you have Chase Elliott making some noise out there. And kind of the one forgotten guy kind of out there is Casey Kane. But we know Casey Kane has talent. We knew he had talent when he was driving the Target car, the Budweiser car, and then he came to Hendrick Motorsports. And I think it could be a good year for him.
I think with the new crew chief, that's going to help him out a bunch. You know, he had the crew chief he had for a long time. And, you know, sometimes relationships in sports and stuff can get kind of stale. I think this will maybe be a change for him. And if, I'm telling you, and we know this because we've seen it, you know, historically, when Casey Kane gets hot, he's probably the best driver out there.
Yeah, he can be. He's very streaky. So, but the problem is he's not been able to get out of the bad streak over the course of the last couple of years. And we talked about this last week on the show. This is an important year for that team with a lot of talented young guys out there. That team has to step up and perform to the level that the rest of the team is, and he hasn't really been holding his own the last few years. So it's going to be an interesting, intriguing year for him. But if this week was any indication, they've got that thing pointed in the right direction.
Absolutely. If you go down to the bottom of the leaderboard, it looks like more people that should be at the top of the leaderboard. With finishing 40th was Matt Kenseth. 38, Kyle Busch, 37, Dale Earnhardt Jr. And as it was pointed out to me by text on Sunday, that Danica Patrick finished better than Jimmy Johnson, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Kyle Busch, and Matt Kenseth. So not that I'm a fan, but there's got to be somebody in here that is, because they take up 4 all the time. So
just stating the facts, buddy.
Even just, yeah.
Was quite interesting. Brad Keselowski, a couple of other notables, finished 27th. And your highest finishing rookie was Daniel Suarez, whose first time in a car.
Who had an absolute disastrous start, where he missed his pits, sped down pit road. I mean, it was just an absolutely terrible way to start. But the guy obviously is an Xfinity Series champion. He knows what to do. Nerves probably got to him a little bit, but he'll figure it out. He'll be very competitive here before it's all said and done.
All right, worst start, Suarez or Eric Jones? About just taking Clint Bowyer totally out.
That is there.
Yeah, I mean, those kind of racing deals happen. Suarez, you can't speed and miss your pit in that situation where you totally miss the pack, and it almost cost them getting lapped there at the beginning. So that was a big blunder on his part. Jones and Truex both kind of, they had a lot of drama just trying to get their cars through tech. They didn't really get enough practice time. I think we'll see those two rookies, Suarez and Jones, be the leading rookies and really kind of pace the rest of their season, kind of move forward and get better. This is a growing year for them. This is a learning year for them. They'll be better by the end of the year.
I do like Suarez, though. I think this is a one-off here at Daytona. You look, there's no other rookie that's been given better equipment than what he's walking into. So a past champion in Xfinity Series, I think he's going to do a heck of a job in the 19th.
And didn't have much time mentally to get prepared for this thing either with Carl Edwards. It all kind of went down so fast.
Pretty much like this show today.
Exactly. Well, for you, for you had all
people,
the time in the world. Yeah. Right, so
somebody's been working all day to get ready for it.
Jason, let's tell them about our Atlanta Motor Speedway giveaway.
Yeah, it's a Racing Talk Radio on 101.3 The Buzz Freeway to Atlanta Motor Speedway, presented by Whitfield Oil Company and Valvoline. You get 2 grandstand tickets to the March 3rd NASCAR Qualifying Day Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series, March 4th, which is Saturday, the Renai 250 and Active Pest Control 200, which is a doubleheader NASCAR Xfinity and Camping World Truck Series.
I'm all
races.
About doubleheaders.
Oh, all about it. It's great. I've been to them up at Bristol. It's wonderful. March 5th, on Sunday, you get the Folds of Honor Quick Trip 500 Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series tickets. Like I said, two tickets each day. And on top of that, $110 value, you get a Valvoline Instant Oil Change Car Care Certificate, which includes Valvoline Conventional Oil Change, Tire Rotation, and a set of wipe-up blades, all presented by Whitfield Oil Company and Valvoline. You can call us at the end of segment three.
At the end of segment three at 478-8819. Mark that number down, 478-8819. We'll take caller three. Not at this segment break.
The next.
We'll give you the cue next. To call.
We'll give you the cue to call, whatever that is.
Absolutely. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll, I don't know whether to call it breakdown or just read you the monster.
Oh, I thought you said breakdancing. I thought we were going to get funky up
here. We could do that, too. The Monster Energy NASCAR Series point standings. And, of course, we got a new sponsor. That's brought to you by Stephanie Painter at Cry Like Realtors of Cleveland. We'll tell you more about that when we come back. You're listening to Racing Talk Radio on 101.3
The Buzz.
We'll be back before Danica Patrick changes sponsors again. Racing Talk Radio on 101.3 The Buzz. We're back with more NASCAR talk. Racing Talk Radio on 101.3 The Buzz.
And we're back live from the Valvoline Instant Oil Change Studios. This is Racing Talk Radio on 101.3 The Buzz. I'm Jamie Kyle, joined by Scott Webb and Jason Hildebrand. Put the wraps on Daytona. Now it's time to talk about this point system that a lot of people were saying official, unofficial at the end of the day on Sunday. But we, hot in our hands, we have the official. I mean, we don't do anything that's unofficial here. It's always official. But we'll talk about the points. And I'm going to tell you this points, the Monster Energy NASCAR Series point standings, are brought to you by Stephanie Painter at Cry Like Realtors of Cleveland. Listen, if you want to sell your property, if you want to buy your dream home, this is the person you need to call. Nobody does it better than Stephanie Painter. I've known her for a long time. She does a really good job. She works for you. Listen, you get her cell phone. I'm talking, you get her cell phone. You can text, call, however you want to do it. Her cell phone is 650-9429. If you need to call her at the office, you can call her there. It's 473-9545. Believe me, folks, you will not be disappointed. Get started today. Scott Webb, let's hear about the Monster Energy NASCAR Series points standings.
Well, sitting on top of the point standings, Kurt Busch has a 12-point lead over Ryan Blaney. Joey Logano third. Kevin Harvick, even though he wrecked out with his stage win, is up to fourth. A.J. Allmendinger, how long is the dinger going to stay in the top five? Eric Almirola, sixth. Kyle Larson, seventh. Chase Elliott, eighth. Denny Hamlin, who had an up-and-down day but ended up ninth in points. And rounding out your top ten, some names that we'll probably never call again this year, Paul Menard. That is your NASCAR Monster Energy Series Cup standings.
Wow. You said
can't argue with the sponsor, though.
Can't argue with the sponsor.
No. And that was brought to you by Stephanie Painter at Cry Like Realtors of Cleveland. Like I said, if you want to sell your property or buy your dream home, you cannot go wrong by calling Stephanie. Reach her at 473-9545 or 650-9429. That's Stephanie Painter at Cry Like Realtors of Cleveland. All right, guys. Daytona's put to bed. We've got Atlanta coming up this week. First, we've mentioned this a couple times in the first couple of segments about how we want to see some of these, what some of these changes and how they're going to look at a mile and a half. Atlanta is crazy fast, or it's bad fast, like Scott used to say. And, after this, they're going to be repaving, as we talked to Ed Clark last week and talking about that. This is really one of those tracks where tire wear becomes a huge issue. My question to you guys to get your opinion on is, do you think this segment racing is going to enhance that? Or do you think it's going to kind of just even it all out for everybody?
You know, typically Atlanta, we've seen some cars get out there and run by themselves. My opinion, you've seen a 48, or back in the day, you see a Gordon out there running, and then you got a pack behind them. So I'm not sure if it's going to even it all out for these guys, to be honest with you.
No, to me, I think this is a big test for the system. How's it going to look? How's it going to play out? Because Jason, I think Jason nailed it. You know, it's one of those races. I think Jimmy Johnson had, at some point last year, had like 5-6 second lead or something ridiculous like that. So, it's going to be interesting to see how this all works out, with the new point system. Obviously, anytime you got cars with points on the line racing, even side by, even if it's not in first, it's going to make for some exciting racing. It's going to be interesting to see how the teams treat this. You know, we saw all the Toyotas kind of pit together at Daytona? Are we going to stay in the team strategy mode or in the manufacturer strategy mode? Are we going to see some different strategies within teams? And it could be earlier in the season that may be the right play, where we have a couple guys in our organization do one thing, a couple guys do something different, to try to kind of see if we can figure out the best way to handle this stage racing. So we may see some experimenting going on, but it should make for, you know, some exciting moments built into the race. And I, you know, anything that can enhance, you know, I call it the nap factor. If the nap factor hits, you know, 5 and I'm snoozing, then I'm not really paying attention to what's going on in the race. But if we've got these kind of built in, you know, stoppages where there are points awarded, it makes for some pretty competitive, some pretty interesting racing. At least it did at Daytona. We'll see how it works in Atlanta this week.
And I think that's what's going to be different, is that Daytona, it's kind of a beast of its own. This is going to be a lot different. You know, I don't know if I think you'll necessarily see the manufacturers doing what they did at Daytona. I think you can do that at Daytona because it's such a big track. You can stick together. You need to draft, and so that's something that is necessary to do. At Atlanta, I almost think that it's going to be a more either individual kind of deal, because the draft's not that important there. So maybe it's not just pitting all together, but it's when you pit that's going to make the difference.
Just being on the same pit sequence, not so much dependent on the other cars out there on the track.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's the thing that's going to be different. I'm really interested to see how some of these crew chiefs, you know, go about strategizing for this race, you know, and... Yeah, I think it's lap 85, I want to say, is one of the
first. I believe you're right. I think it's 85 and then 170. The first two segments are equal segments. I think it's 85 laps, and then
you go the remainder.
You go the remainder of the race, which I think there's, what, 325 total or something like that. So,
right.
You know, a little over half the race.
325.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see how all that plays out. We'll probably see a lot of different strategies and a lot of different ways of handling that. It's a fast racetrack, so you know, speed will be crucial. We've seen some good racing last year. I think we had Jimmy Johnson won it pretty handily, but I think there was some good racing in behind that. We'll probably see that again this week. It'll be interesting to see. For me, looking at individual teams, it's going to be interesting to see what Stuart Haas does this week. Do they bring the same kind of fast race cars to the track? You know, we didn't have to deal with a lot of handling stuff. I mean, handling played a big role at Daytona, but it normally does. You know, it's not the same kind of handling that you see on a week-to-week basis at some of these other tracks. So will they show up and be as fast as they've been so far as they were down at Daytona?
And that's one thing to think about, because Kevin Harvick has been pretty good, pretty doggone good at Atlanta, and now going to have a different chassis.
Yeah, and there's some tracks coming up as they, you know, they head out west that he's been really good at. So
yeah.
You would think that they're going to do everything they can to kind of get a whole handle on this as quickly as they can, because you know, he's got some tracks out coming up here in the next few weeks that he's really good at.
Absolutely. I want to ask you guys this, and I didn't even write this down on the show schedule. This is what.
Well, that's shocking.
Yeah.
That is shocking.
Very shocking. All right, so. What do you think the two top storylines coming out of Atlanta, in your opinion, what do you think they're going to be?
Top two stories. Obviously, you know, we spent a lot of time talking about segment racing. I think it's going to be, how do we handle this moving forward? And then for me, it's Stuart Haas. You know, I want to see if they can be the type of team. You know, we talked last year at the beginning of the year about Truex and their transition to Toyota. Well, they had such, you know, they were essentially just a fifth car for Gibbs Racing last year. You know, it does Stuart Haas, are they able to just jump right in and be as competitive as the Penske cars, the Penske Fords, on a week-to-week basis? I think they're very excited. I know Clint Bowyer's very excited. He probably, even though he wrecked out, he's probably still smiling, because he's going to have fast race cars all year long. And they've got some power. The Ford engines have always had power, but are they able to figure out the best way to manipulate that car to make it do the things they want it to do?
I think for me, it's going to be seeing Hendrick. We didn't see much of Hendrick, you know, at Daytona or whatever, and for wrecks and everything else. But to see if, number one, Dale Earnhardt Jr. is back to form. Two, you know, Johnson's been pretty dominant at that track as well. Is he going to be able to do that? And can Chase, you know, race really well, like I think he can, at an Atlanta Motor Speedway? And then, of course, Casey Kane. you know, it's his time. I mean, we mentioned earlier how crucial this year is for him. You know, not only a contract year, but also you've got three, you know, horses in the stable that you know are pretty set. He would be the only one that's probably replaceable out of that unless Junior retires. So a lot of pressure on him. The other would just be, like you said, with Stuart Haas, seeing if they can bring, you know, what they brought to Daytona, if they can bring that to Atlanta, and if they can run consistent.
And the one thing I thought of, and you kind of took the words right out of my mouth, was what I was going to say the storyline was Hendrick really flexes his muscle this weekend.
Yeah.
I really think those cars between Elliott, Earnhardt Jr., even Kane runs well down there, and Johnson. I mean, mm-hmm. I think those four cars can go out there and make their presence known this week. I also want to see, you know, one of the other things, storylines, is Goodyear got the right tire out there. Are the tires performing as they should? Because like we said, you know, past champion Kyle Busch from a couple years ago was really adamant about the tires down at Daytona. Is there a problem with Goodyear? What's going on out there?
Yeah, and it's always interesting to see as well, coming off of Daytona being the first race of the year, how many people have got it figured out going into the start of the season now, and how much of it, you know, might have been a fluke and a good run at Daytona. So, all right, we need to tell you about the Atlanta Motor Speedway giveaway by Whitfield Oil Company and Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Jason, let's talk it up. Give them the cue to call, and let's see who wins.
All right, what we got here, guys? We got two tickets to each of the following days, March 3rd, which is Friday, March 4th, and 5th. You get the NASCAR Qualifying Day Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series on Friday. Fourth, on Saturday, you get the Rinnai 250 and the Active Pest Control, which is the Camping World Truck Series and Xfinity Doubleheader. You get March 5th, which is the Folds of Honor Quick Trip 500 Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series tickets. On top of that, $110 value March 3rd. Valvoline Instant Oil Change Car Care Certificate, which includes a Valvoline conventional oil change, tire rotation, and a set of wiper blades, all presented by Whitfield Oil Company and Valvoline.
And Scott, what do they need to do to get these tickets?
Well, we're going to take, when we go to break here, we're going to take caller number 3 at 478-8819. Give us a call. Caller number 3 is going to win an awesome package to Atlanta this weekend.
And that's
478-8819.
Make sure you call 478-8819.
Somebody needs to put that on the show schedule. Whoever does that.
I don't know who that is. You had all day to do it. All right, when we come back, we will we'll announce who we think is, well, first we'll announce the winner of the tickets, then we'll announce who we think is going to be the winner of the Atlanta race, and then the all-important
the initial power rankings come out.
This is the first time this year, you know, all the
There'll be some issues, yes,
that we had last year with the power rankings and rules and everything else. Rules are out the door. Let's just pick what we want. So we'll do that when we come back. You're listening to Racing Talk Radio on 101.3
The Buzz.
We'll be back faster than a buzz off a can of Monster Energy. Racing Talk Radio on 101.3 The Buzz. This is the fastest hour in NASCAR. Buckle up and hang on. Racing Talk Radio on 101.3 The Buzz.
Welcome back to the Valvoline Instant Oil Change Studios and Racing Talk Radio on 101.3 The Buzz. I'm Jamie Kyle, Scott Webb, and Jason Hildebrand. What a show it has been, describing what happened at Daytona, talking about Atlanta coming up. We had a winner. We had a winner for the huge package, which, you know, as a banker, I've almost valued at about $500 to $600.
You have to be a banker to do that?
Well, yeah.
Because you are good with numbers.
That I am, as you can tell by the numbers that I said earlier. But congratulations to Randall Jones here in Cleveland. Randall has won the prize pack of the tickets for the whole weekend at Atlanta Motor Speedway. Plus, before he goes down, he can get his oil changed,
get
his
oil
driver's
change,
license.
Take care of
driver's
that
license.
Day, listen, that's...
Good Lord. Let me go start over his windshield wipers and get his tires rotated before he takes off down there. If we could have just hooked him up with gas, it would have almost been like a win-win for him for sure.
Well, we need to talk to the boss man.
That is true, which is probably listening today. You know, Sean Whitfield. Make sure that's one of the things I want to say that Valvoline Racing Radio on 105.5, 16 years they've been talking NASCAR. Make sure you tune them in on Mondays and Wednesdays at 6 o'clock. Sean Casey and Kyle do a great job down there. When it comes to Whitfield Media Group, you better believe we've got NASCAR taken care of Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So it's awesome.
It is awesome.
I like it.
I'm happy to be a part.
Yeah, I'm glad you're a part. You too, Jay. So that was the nice things
I'll
say about you.
Well,
guys,
hey, appreciate that.
Hey, it's all group hug here.
Over with now.
Wait till I send them texts out Sunday.
Yeah. No, you should take some of those back. how they were. So, all right, I said all the nice things because we were getting ready
right,
to win the power ranking.
Right, yeah, because it's power ranking time.
So I wanted to go ahead and give you those for the first or the second race of the year. So I'm going to go ahead and start. Listen, Chase Elliott leads my power rankings, and you might say, why? Well, listen, the guys run consistent. At Daytona
and all one race we've run so far this year.
I'm looking at a total picture here. Scott Webb is, last year being his rookie year, I thought he held himself well, drove well, and had a couple of shots to win, and it's like he couldn't get the monkey off his back, so to speak. So, I think Chase Elliott's one. Kevin Harvick really impressed me in the Ford. Of course, he's always impressed me the way he runs in whatever car he's in, no matter if he's driving Xfinity Series or NASCAR. I thought he did a really good job on Sunday and got caught in a wreck that kind of put him out, but had a really fast car. If anybody at Stuart Haas Motorsports is going to do well in a Ford, I think it's going to be Kevin Harvick. Joey Logano, always consistent.
Even over top of a guy who's won a championship in a Ford?
Again, my point is, these are my power rankings. All right, Joey Logano. I said Stuart Haas Racing.
Sorry.
All right, Joey Logano, three. What can you say? He's Mr. Consistency, really, until it comes to the last couple of races of the year, but had a strong showing, finished in the top 10 at Daytona. Then the 78 of Martin Truex. I don't think what we saw at Daytona is kind of a this is his year to go. He had a really good year last year. Always the thing with Martin is he starts off strong, and then he kind of finishes out dull. I think this year is going to be different. I think this team will stay hot. They've got a little more Toyota money now that they've started the second team, and I think having Eric Jones there to bounce ideas off will make a difference. And then your Daytona 500 winner, Kurt Busch, what can you say? Takes us forward to victory. I don't care if he leads the last lap, like we said all last year Jimmy Johnson did. It won a championship for him. Could very well win a championship for Kurt Busch if it gets hot. Jason Hildebrand.
I've got the winner of the Daytona 500, number one in my power rankings, Kurt Busch. Thank you. Survival of the fittest there, through the weekend. Joey Logano, what can you say? I think he ran a good race out there on Sunday. I had some problems earlier, overcame that, and wound up with a good finish. Third, got Ryan Blaney. Really, we talked about how aggressive he was. Really thought he was super aggressive in the duels, along with on Sunday. Started, in the very rear of the pack, had to go to that backup car, and drove up there in no time. Really liked the way this young kid's driving. Casey Kane, got him fourth in my power rankings. Really liked what I saw out of him as far as qualifying, running the duels, and what I saw out of him on Sunday. Chase Elliott, I got him fifth in my power rankings. Still like the kid. Just want to see a little bit more out of it, but it's doing a well job right now.
Terrific. I thought that was a terrific list. I'm going to also take the guy who actually won the race, number one in my power rankings, Kurt Busch. I may become a Blaney fan after watching him wreck everything he could trying to get to the front. I'm a fan of the 21 car. I just want to see some consistency. His thing is, can he keep that thing on the track week in and week out long enough to move and keep himself in the mix? That'll be the task moving forward. I got the rookie of the year last year. Now both these guys are in their second year, Blaney and this guy, Chase Elliott. Tremendous job all week long down there. He really looked the part. Winning the first duel, the way he handled that race, and put himself in position. They had a little gas issue. He was running out of gas there. He would have been right in the mix and finished higher than he did. Very impressed with Harvick. I thought they did a terrific job. I want to see this team. I think if they can figure things out with some of the money and the teammates he has now that can run with him, this is a guy that can win a championship again. There's no doubt about it. He did a terrific job on TV Saturday in the booth. Big shout out to Harvick. I thought he had a pretty solid weekend. Joey Logano fifth. I thought that Logano did a good job overcoming the tire. They had tire troubles in the dual race and in the actual 500, and they kind of overcame that, put themselves in position. Good showing by Logano, and again, he is going to be one of those guys that's going to be there at the end to compete for a championship. So the 41, the 21, 24, 4, and 22. We each picked five cars in our list, one Toyota. who would have thought that after the it looked like it was going to be a Toyota party all year long last year, and we have one Toyota out of both of our picks. A surprising weekend for Toyotas. Part of that is they all wrecked out. They're running together. So that to me is a story moving forward. I don't think any of us are worried about the Toyotas moving forward. I think we all think that three of those cars are going to be in the mix for a championship.
Well, I can tell you two things. One, you mentioned to me earlier as I was going through my power rankings that, you know, you're basing this off one race. Well, we're basing this Toyota comment, you know, off of one race where a lot can happen. So, you know, we think about Kyle Busch always runs well, you know, Atlanta in the mile and a half. Matt Kenseth runs well, you know, and then we've seen, you know, a resurgence of Martin Truex over the past couple of years. So, no, I don't think they have anything to worry about. And I think next week, this is my prediction, we're going to be talking about, you know, some Toyotas in the top five, even the top ten, and could be even winning the race. So one thing I wanted to ask you guys before we pick our winners is who, and I'm going to start with this, is who would be your surprise, you know, finisher this week at Atlanta? And when I was thinking about that, I was thinking about Daniel Suarez and how fast Carl Edwards has always been there with his cars. Mm-hmm. He's helping Daniel Suarez out. I think this is a track that he can do well on. He ran well there in the Xfinity the last couple of years. And so he'll be my surprise finisher for Atlanta.
Going with Ryan Newman in Atlanta. You look at him and you think about how good Harvick's been. He actually has a higher average finish over his career and Atlanta than a Kevin Harvick, who's been really good at the track.
Well, I was impressed with the way the 42 car ran. No, I'm not. I'm not going there. I'm a Larson fan. I love to watch this. The kid, but the only problem I have with Larson is he kind of has one style. He can run the high line as good as anybody out there right now. He struggles if that line's not particularly working for him. So I would like to see some improvement. You know, they'll be able to run, especially in 3 and 4 at Atlanta, they'll run pretty high in those lanes. But you'll have different lanes, especially in 1 and 2. So can he run in different places and still be fast? So I like Larson to make improvements and continue to improve and put himself into real star status in this series. But this is a big week. I want to see him continue to progress. Not my pick to win,
right?
But my surprise pick to watch out for this week, the 42 car.
He is somebody that seems like he's been on the verge at times, and then he kind of steps back, which is different.
Right. I mean, we've been talking about him. You know, I can still picture the movie made in California 2 years ago where he literally passed like 25 cars coming out of 1 and 2 to put himself in position to almost win that race. I think Kyle Busch ended up winning it. So the talent is there. I mean, he does things on the racetrack that only the most uber talented kind of person can do out there. But they got to have consistency. I think they finally have a little speed in those cars. They were very racy last week. Can they build some consistency and fine handling week in and week out? That's the next step in the evolution for that driver.
All right, let's go to picking winners. You know, I was sitting here thinking, all day for the last couple of days trying to figure out, you know, do I go with Harvick, do I go with Johnson, or do I go with Keselowski or Logano? I think, you know, at the end of the day, I can't not pick, that's a double negative, the Jimmy Johnson car, number 48, to win at Atlanta. We talked about earlier about Hendrick needing to have a good run. I think Jimmy Johnson gets it done for him this week.
Going out on a limb, I'm taking the 5 of Casey Kane this week.
5. That's okay. You know, I almost took 5 as my surprise pick because I, you know, they've had some good runs at Atlanta.
And that's what I'm thinking.
So if they get their act together, that could be a very dangerous team. So
I could drop him like a rock after this week if you don't perform well. But, you know,
that is true. So the question, Scott Webb, is we've stayed in the Hendrick camp. What are you going to?
Well, Johnson was originally going to be my pick because it's almost like Phoenix for Harvick. It's hard not to pick Jimmy Johnson to win there. But I'll go out on the line. I'm going to go way out on the line. I'm going to take same organization, but I'm going to take the 14 car of Clint Bowyer.
Wow.
That's a reach. Maybe I should have went Larson to win. Bowyer is my surprise
pick. I think
you
could have picked Danica. That would have been
the surprise. But I'll take the 14 Stuart Haas. Racing. Clint Bowyer.
How much would that do for his confidence? That would be huge.
I don't think. I think he is so excited just to be in the car. I think he's having fun again. And you could see, you know, we talked about this a little bit last week on the show. Excited, how excited was he's been for the whole time they've been down there, because he knows he's got a fast race car and he's going to be. I think he's going to be in the mix. I think we forget how good of a driver he was because of the year he had last year. I don't think that's it. Last year was just it's just one of those years. It's about equipment. You put him in good stuff, he's going to have good finishes, and he'll be in the mix a lot. So we'll take Bowyer to win.
So we got Bowyer. So we got the 48, the 5, and the 14. Is your picks to win this week at Atlanta?
Although my fantasy picks, I don't think I even touched the 14.
Make sure you tune in to 101.3 The Buzz over the weekend. You can listen to all the NASCAR action from Atlanta. Sunday usually starts 1:30. You could tune in at that point in time.
2:30, I think, is green flag.
2:30 is green flag. You can get pre-race at 1:30, and you can hear the great folks from MRN. We'll be bringing you that. Our good friend of the show, Alex Hayden. We'll definitely be down there in the pits roaming around talking to people, so make sure you pay attention to that. All right, want to thank you all for listening today. Congratulations to Randall Jones on winning a great prize pack for Atlanta. Hope he enjoys that. And for Scott Webb, for Jason Hildebrand, I'm Jamie Kyle. This has been another edition of Racing Talk Radio on 101.3
The Buzz.
This has been Racing Talk Radio. Join Jamie Kyle and Scott Webb every Wednesday, 5 p.m. right here on 101.3 The Buzz or on your TuneIn app. This has been a production of Whitfield Media Group.